The collect for today, especially in the Rite II language, is just as timely as our collect was last week. Almighty and merciful God, it is only by your gift that your faithful people offer you true and laudable service. Grant that we may run without stumbling to obtain your heavenly promises through the grace and gift of God. Through the grace and gift of God, we have offered a true and laudable service. We have had yet one more successful Lasterfest. We have fed the masses and will give the fruits of our labors to a very worthwhile organization, Habitat for Humanity. That is true and laudable service, for which we give thanks to God who strengthens us. That said, I don't know about you, but I don't really think I can run without stumbling to anything today, even if the goal is God's heavenly promises. Maybe we could substitute crawl for run, just for days like today. Grant today that we may crawl without stumbling to obtain your heavenly promises. That sounds a little more possible, but still not probable. Still, at times that we come together to offer a true and laudable service, the end result does feel like heavenly promises. The afterglow of a job well done must be a snippet of the experience of truly living in the kingdom of God. Sure, we're tired. Yes, Tyler Hall reeks with the smell of the morning after Lasterfest, but it's good indeed. Working together, we accomplish great things. And that's what this is about. That's what makes Lasterfest such a big success, not just in terms of supporting Habitat for Humanity, but in terms of our Grace family. Lasterfest serves to build community, both inside our church and in the outer world. That's what we're called to do, to spread God's love first within our church family and then out into the world. And this is a time that we are especially good at doing that. If you've ever been to our parish retreat at Camp McDowell or Crucio or Happening or any sort of away retreat that takes you out of your regular routine away from home, you've probably heard someone ask, why is it that life in the real world isn't like this? You may have even wondered that yourself. Why is it that day-to-day life isn't like life as we experience it away from home? The same people may even be there, but something seems to shift. Something is different, and it seems to be lighter and better and easier. The shift that occurs in those settings is the same that occurs here as we come together to work on Lasterfest. The playing field is evened out. No longer are we bankers and doctors and lawyers and teachers and mothers. No longer are we executives and day laborers. We are just coming together as people to play or work or learn or some of all of that. That's what makes these experiences seem so set apart, so different from our daily dealings with each other. And that's exactly the situation that Jesus addresses in his teaching for us from the Gospel of Matthew today. Jesus tells the crowds who have gathered and his closest followers, the scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, therefore do whatever they teach you and follow it. But do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. The scribes and the Pharisees have knowledge and the history. They have been schooled in the traditions of the faith, but they don't practice what they teach. And that's a good enough warning for those of us who have been schooled in the traditions of the faith. Jesus continues, they tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. That's a fairly scathing description of those in places of leadership. They, rather than working alongside the people, have put the burdens on the people's backs, while they put on long fringes and broad phylacteries. In the Episcopal Church, that's called chancel prancing. Of interest, phylacteries are the places that the Shema is kept. The Shema being the foundational faith statement. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. And to this we know that Jesus linked, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. These leaders walked around with this foundational faith statement in their phylacteries, on their bodies. But they pay no notice to what they say. Jesus continues to condemn the behavior of the leadership, their desired seats of honor, and their titles that demand respect. And it's not that having knowledge or being in a position of leadership is inherently bad or sinful, but that making the position the focus or the status the goal entirely goes against the demand of servant leadership. Jesus reminds, the greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalts himself will be humbled, and all who humbles themselves will be exalted. And that has proven itself to be true time and time again over the centuries that have followed these words of our Lord. Time and again, those who put themselves first have found themselves to be last. And those who become servants have found themselves to be served and filled in ways that they could never imagine. Think about that. Think about that in terms of Lobster Fest and other terms in our lives when we join together to work and play, and perhaps some of each of these. Times when our job or our educational level or our income does not make one bit of difference. Those are the most God-like times in our lives, the most Christ-like events we can both experience and offer to the broader world. That's what the real world is like, according to Jesus. A world where we actually put God first, not ourselves. A world in which there are no idols, idols being those things which we put before God, like long phylacteries or fancy vestments or recognition because of our positions and titles. Having titles and degrees and wealth and position are not in and of themselves inherently bad. None of those things have any power except what we give them. It's how we treat these that matters to God. Do we allow our accomplishments, our positions to be the focus? Do we want the attention and the accolades to be directed at us or to God? The problem Jesus addresses with the scribes and the Pharisees is that their focus is wrong. They're focused on their own honor and position. They're wanting the attention to be directed toward them and not toward God. They've become their own idols, and as such, they've gotten it all wrong. They're not living in the real world. Not the real world as God would have it. The really real world is a world where the playing field is level, where the attention is focused on God and being God's servants in that world. And it's in these times that we get a glimpse of the kingdom of God and what it's like to live in that kingdom. Thanks be to God that we have in our lives these times where we can experience the real world as God would have it. Thanks be to God for those folks who model this God-like living for us all the time. Thanks be to God for the opportunity and grace we are given to live more fully into his kingdom as we continue our journey together. Amen.